You listen to Buckets Radio 104.1 FM. This is the Environment Show with Bruce. And today we have Mr. Paul Ashby, the General Manager of Commercial Development of Upstream Gas from AGL. Good afternoon, Paul.
Thanks for the opportunity, Bruce.
That's great, mate. It's good to get you talking to us, and we'd like to hear what we can as we can in the community here at Gloucester. Look, Paul, we've got a recent development where AGL is wanting to put in a review of environmental factors, and I believe has put that into the New South Wales government. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Sure. AGL last week submitted the review of environmental factors. We call it REF for short, for the Walk Ivory pilot, to the New South Wales Office of Coal Seam Gas. That's a relatively new body that's part of the new regulatory system that's been set up by the New South Wales government. And then what the New South Wales Office of Coal Seam Gas does is they then distribute that report to the EPA, to the Office of Water, to the Department of Planning and Infrastructure, Department of Primary Industries, etc., and all the government bodies necessary to review the Walk Ivory pilot. And so what the REF is outlining is the activity that we're proposing, which is to take the four wells that were drilled the latter part of 2012, to perforate those wells into the coal seam, to hydraulically fracture stimulate the wells, and then flow the gas from the wells over about an 18-month to two-year period, and make sure that it complies with all the codes of practice under the new legislation.
Right, okay. So basically that the flow of gas for the, say, year to two-year period, what happens to that gas? Is it just flared off or vented to the atmosphere?
This is an exploration activity, and we're not permitted to do anything else but flare the gas.
Right, okay. That, well, you know, to the average Joe Blow probably sounds like a bit of a waste. You know, could you put a barrel of water on top and boil that water and use that energy up, or are you not allowed to do anything like that with it?
No, all we can do is flare it. We're not allowed to vent it, so if people are concerned about fugitive emissions, that's not what we can do. We must burn it. Burning it, of course, turns it to carbon dioxide, which is better than just having methane being vented to the atmosphere.
Yes.
We do it in a special purpose-built containerised ground-level flare, which minimises any of the flame brightness that you might see around the place, and also keeps it quiet. So, yes, it's certainly enough to cook up a lot of meals, and it is a waste, and we'd hope one day that we could put that to a commercial use and send it in a pipeline to the Sydney-Newcastle market and potentially use it as well in Gloucester.
Well, the idea of, you know, you need to do your flow testing and stuff like that, but the idea of sort of, well, you know, in a sense, wasting it in a sense, other than getting your answers for how much flow there is, I think there'd probably be some room for somebody to come up with a great idea of, you know, an innovative way of being able to use that power rather than just vent it off, you know, rather than just burn it off with no real gain other than data. I'd like to maybe have a chat with you about doing something about that one day. I think I see that as being a fairly big waste. We're talking about, on average, about $10,000 worth of gas a day per well. Is that right?
That actually sounds about right, yeah. I mean, depending on the gas price, of course, and there's a bit of uncertainty in that in the market. If people have been reading the paper, we don't quite know what the price is going to be, but it's certainly going to be quite valuable gas, yeah.
Right, okay. So that means we're going to be burning off around about somewhere between $10 and $13 million worth of gas.
At the revenue level, that sounds over the period of about 18 months. I'm not sure that, remember, the way the gas flows is it doesn't start flowing on the very first day. It takes a little while. The first thing we have to do is get the water out of the well first, and that could take, you know, 3 months before we get a meaningful flow of gas, and then the gas will sort of start ramping up slowly and reach a peak, hopefully, you know, within a month or two, and then decline off and slowly reduce over the remaining months of the test. So at peak times, yeah, it's going to be very valuable, but, you know, we'll be doing lots of testing. We'll be probably increasing its flow and decreasing it and doing some things just to ensure that we're not you know, having any adverse impacts or interference with any of the local area.
Yeah, well, look, that's one of the things that I'd like to cover with you is that People up here are, well, up in arms at the moment about the fact that AGL wants to go ahead with the fracking without the full groundwater study being done and the independent science being in on this. Not having baseline measurements to be able to work with. We've seen where that's been a problem, particularly up in Queensland with the Great Artesian Basin. And there was evidence of some BTEX chemicals in there, but they were unable to prove that the company involved was actually responsible for that because they didn't have any baseline measurements before. And people are very concerned that we don't get a measurement of our pristine, well, pristine, yet to be seen, what our baseline measurements up are here in Gloucester before this fracking occurs. Is there a reason why AGL needs to go ahead so quickly with this fracking thing rather than getting the water study done first?
Bruce, it's a very good question, and the simple answer is we actually need data for the study. There's only so much you can achieve from desktop studies and looking at information, and you've pointed out that we don't have a lot of baseline data yet, although I might point out that AGL has had water bores in place in Gloucester since 2010, and so in fact we do have a pretty good baseline in some of the areas. We acknowledge that we need more, and by the end of this year we'll have up to 45 water bores spread across the Gloucester Basin, getting that very baseline data you're talking about. But to go back to your original point, it's really about getting the data. We need to make sure that we have some physical measurements where you can relate that to, you know, the desktop studies and come up with some firm conclusions. In fact, the independent review of our most recent water study recommended that we go ahead with this as soon as possible, because without this physical data, we're a little bit in the dark on getting, you know, some proper physical information.
Was that go ahead as quickly as possible with the gathering of the information on water, or as quickly as possible at the gathering of gas?
Well, it's to make sure that we have information firstly and foremost on getting the gas flow, and making sure with the water bores nearby that we test that there's no interference. So, for instance, we have some water bores close by this well, these four Walk Ivory pilot wells, and we'll be able to test groundwater and beneficial aquifer water and check that there's no change to the composition of that water, no change to the water levels, which would indicate that there's an interference. We will be able to test that over an extended period of 18 months and just, you know, ensure that we're not having an adverse impact. So that is important as well. So it's both the collecting of the gas data, you're absolutely right, that's important because we need to know whether this is a commercial operation or not. But we also have to get the information on the water, how much of it is going to flow, what's the flow rates, is the water having any impact at all on the local groundwater and beneficial aquifers, which will be detected by our other water bores in the area. So all these information will all come together in our study.
Right, okay. So the holes drilled at Walk Ivory, how deep are they?
Those wells, I don't know the exact depth, but I believe those wells are about 700-800 metre wells.
Right, okay.
That's the layer of coal that we'll be accessing.